Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mouse Ears Podcast, where we talk about all things travel, but mostly Disney. Brought to you by Fairy Tale Journeys Travel.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Mouse Ears Podcast. With me today is just the original three, myself, Stephanie, and with me I have Kelton. How are you, Kelton?
Hi. Hey, everybody. Hello.
And Brooks. How are you, Brooks?
Howdy ho, neighbors.
Today, we're actually going across the road and talking about Universal Orlando Resort. It's a little bit different of an episode, but one of the things that we've realized as travel agents is that clients and guests to these amusement parks do like to have a rest day or a day where they kind of just take a beat from being at the parks. And one of those things that people like to do is enjoy their shopping and restaurant district. And at Universal, that's the City Walk. So as soon as you ride the magic carpet, you basically enter what is known as City Walk. And that is what you walk through before you get to either Universal Studios or Islands Adventure, if you're not staying on one of Universal Orlando Resorts. But before we dive deep into what is at City Walk and why it's so fun, we've got some phenomenal new news to talk about today. I'm actually really excited because today, on the day of recording, which is March 28th, we had some really epic news. So, Brooks, you're going to take care of the new news today, right?
Yes. Broadcaster Brooks will take care of the new news.
All right, take it away.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the new news. I am your broadcaster, Brooks. So today with the news, we had, as the lovely Steph said, some epic news. So first, we had some news drop about Epic Universe. More importantly, from the Isle of Berk. If you don't know what Isle of Berk is, that is the world from How to Train Your Dragon. So just announced, Soar with Dragons at the colorful How to Train Your Dragon Isle of Berk. It's a heartwarming and exhilarating adventure for all ages. Opening 2025 at Universal Epic Universe. So if we're going to go a little bit into the world of Berk, we're going to go with Hiccup and all of his just people of Berk. So they announced a lot of the attractions that are going to be there in that land. And it's got me so excited for it. My brother and I have been a big fan of How to Train Your Dragon ever since it came out. Even though maybe it wasn't made for people of our ages when it came out, but we really resonated with it, especially since, my brother's dog at the time, Augusta, she was a black lab boxer mix, and we always said she was the living embodiment of Toothless. Scared a bunch of people because she had a loud bark, but if you got in her circle of trust, she was your best friend in the whole wide world. But with the Isle of Berk, you may be asking yourself, what attractions will be in Universal and Epic Universe's Isle of Berk? Well, they will have Hiccup's Wing Gliders. So there are four, they announced four attractions. With the Wing Gliders on this family thrill coaster, Hiccup invites brave new Vikings to take a ride on his latest glider contraption, a winged flying machine that launches inspiring dragon riders into the sky for a dragon's eye view of Berk. Guests will fly alongside Hiccup and Toothless and reach speeds of up to 45 miles per hour as they soar around the perimeter of Berk and even through the lagoon while experiencing firsthand what it's like to fly a dragon. That sounds awesome. I don't know about y'all, but that sounds amazing.
I think it sounds awesome. That's going to be really,
really cool.
So, but it doesn't end there. So the next ride that it says is the Fire Drill. It is the Viking runs Rough Nut and Tough Nut invite teams of Vikings to compete to outscore and outsoak each other on this wet and wild boat battle. Guests will board a colorful dragon-headed boat and blast water cannons at flame-like targets to practice putting out fires, a crucial skill to master when living with dragons. So this would be like a wet and wild Buzz Lightyear Toy Story Mania, and sounds so much fun. And I didn't misspeak before. I said four that. Attractions. There are three, so I do apologize about that.
I think this one is what I'm most excited about, and I might be, you know, in the minority here. You know, I know people don't technically like to get wet on rides. Yeah, Florida.
Yeah.
This, I feel like it's something that will be so much fun, and it's not, it's different. It's a different water ride. You normally have like a rapids, like a raft, or you have, you know, more of like a Splash Mountain style of a water ride. So this one being, you know, almost like a shooter game where you're getting wet. It sounds so awesome. It's new, it's different, it's exciting. I feel like it's gonna be refreshing more so mm-hmm. than just getting doused with water and feeling icky and gross. I think you're gonna be a lot more immersed in having that youth fun carelessness going on, especially embodying you know, the two Viking twins, Rough Nut and Tough Nut, you know, and how their personalities, you know, really come out with this ride. So
now it will be interesting if you can like try to like, I don't, maybe try to hit the other teams or like try to hit their ride and it like jostles them or something,
like the other boats. Yeah, that'll be fun.
I doubt that they'll have it to where you can literally squirt someone, because you don't want someone squirting you in the face the whole time.
But I'm sure it'll be like splashing, you know, whenever you're hitting one of the targets, it might, you know, bounce back type of thing. But I really feel like this one is one of the things that I've heard come out of Epic Universe news that I'm most excited about. It mm-hmm. just feels that much different. And just a lot of fun. I don't know. Then again, I'm a Floridian and I like anything that's going to be refreshing.
To stay cool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's not the only, those are not the only two rides. So the big ride that they announced is Dragon Racers Alley. Burke's new Viking racers can practice aerobatic maneuvers and high-speed barrel rolls on two Viking-made dragon-riding trainers that reach heights of up to 67 feet in the air. Guests can control how wild or mild their experience will be as they perform high-flying, gravity-defying, swooping, and soaring skills that are necessary to earn the accolades worthy of a true champion dragon racer.
I'm going to assume that it's going to be like a Magic Carpets or a Dumbo, if we're talking about the other park down the road, where you have a little toggle to go higher or lower. But this month, I'm assuming, you know, just based on the videos that I've seen, maybe you'll, you know, go in circles or sway or something like that, because it just seems like a giant hammer that's going around in a circle. And then there's all the little dragons at like that hammer base, if you will. And I'm assuming you're going to have the ability to spin around if you wanted to, if you're going a nosedive or just swaying, going with the wind.
That seems really cool. It could be like the teacup party and Dumbo in one.
That would be really cool, right?
Which you can make that wild.
Maybe not eat before going on that one then.
So, quick story. I used to work at a fun park in Augusta, and we used to have like the like little tiny carnival rides. And there was one that you could literally, it was like this little balloon ride that just went like up and down and it spun around, but you could also spin the ride compartment. and you get that thing going, that thing, it could be one of the wildest rides you can get on, because you can get that, you could get that thing moving. So I'm imagining something kind of like that, to where, like I say, you can make it as wild or as mild as you want. So be mild with Ellie and then get wild with just myself.
I like it. So I'm excited.
But they did not just announce attractions. They also announced restaurants and quick service spots in the Isle of Burke. There are three places to eat, two quick service and one sit down. There is Mead Hall, is the beating heart of Burke and the village's main gathering hall. Mead Hall is where guests can feast like a Viking and enjoy a savory menu featuring a variety of fish, meats, sandwiches, and more, along with a collection of meads and ciders. So,
yep, you can find me there during Halloween Horror Nights.
Oh yeah. So
you could just be like, huzzah,
huzzah.
You know, the first time I read this little tidbit on Mead Hall, you know, it crossed my mind. I am so excited to see and to try, of course, what Universal brings in as like their unique drinks. I mentioned this before in our Universal episode. I had a crew member once tell me that every land
team member, but
thank
same
you.
Thing.
No, I do appreciate it. It's cast member is just ingrained in my head. a team member. What is it? Team member. Okay. Sorry. Thank you. Team member told me that every land throughout the parks have their own specialty beer just for that location. Can't be found anywhere else. So I'm really excited what they're going to do for Isle of Burke, because I feel like they'll have a lot of fun with that too. And potentially maybe drink out of like a Viking horn, you know, like that would be fun too. Anyways, that's my 2 cents.
So then we go on to the two quick service. We have Spitfire Grill, overlooking the action of the Fire Drill water attraction. Spitfire Grill is a quick service dining location featuring delicious, hearty meals, flame seared by a helpful but unseen dragon fry cook. And then we also have Hooligans, Grog and Groll, and guests can grab quick bites at this festive race-themed food stand located in the Viking camp. So they're going with the quick service
food.
Yeah. It's, I imagine maybe like the flame seared, maybe something kind of like Ronto's Roasters, maybe.
Yeah.
So, but then they're also going to have meet and greets. So really excited about this one as well. Fans of the Dragonfield Fantasy series can expect to encounter their favorite characters from the films, even Toothless. You can meet the beloved dragon in Hiccup at the Haddock paddock. Plus, throughout the day, Universal shares guests also may also encounter other familiar dragons and Vikings while exploring Burke.
Now, I know we talk about Disney and use a lot of Disney references, which we probably shouldn't, but oh well. I can imagine that this meet and greet encounter with Hiccup and Toothless will probably be to an extent similar to the meeting Blue the Velociraptor over at Islands of Adventure. So I feel like that'd be really cool. I think Toothless is absolutely adorable. I would say he's probably one of my favorite animated characters outside of the Disney universe. So I think this is going to be really, really cool, especially because I am absolutely 100% expecting to see some like new technology with this new epic universe with Universal. And I feel like this is going to be one of those instances where we're going to be able to really see just how far Universal is willing to take it and what advances they've made.
I'm just happy to see that they're getting off their, you know, 3D attraction run that they seem to have had going for quite a number
of years. You're right there.
You know, so they're actually, you know, you look at all the attractions that are going into Isle of Berk, it's like, I mean, they have seriously put a ton of thought. And we've only seen, you know, one land. And we have three more to go. So it's the coming months are going to be, well, the next 12 months really are going to be, you know, it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be fun.
I agree. Because they mentioned a little bit about Celestial Park, I think it was called. But I feel like Isle of Berk, A, other than Wizarding World, it's one of the most anticipated. But also, B, they've talked about it the most out of the new concepts. Because, mm-hmm. yes, they have the Nintendo World, but we've seen and heard a lot about that because they have it in California. They have it over in the Asian market. So they haven't really released too much news about that here. So other than Celestial Park, which they mentioned a few things, this is like the next big and new thing. Yep. So I'm really, really excited that they did give us some information on that.
No, definitely. So,
let's not forget the show, Brooks, because
I'm
excited about that one.
So, in addition to meeting the characters, there'll be a live show inspired by the popular Untrainable show at Universal Beijing Resort. So with that, the live spectacular would take guests on a journey with Hiccup, Toothless, Gobber, and Astrid as they work together to solve the mystery of the Untrainable dragon. And just looking at images from the Beijing show, it looks incredible.
Yeah, I second that. I think that's going to be a great draw for the crowds and as well a break from the sun. Plus, it's something different. I mean, mm-hmm. I might be drawing like a blank right now, but I don't think that I can't think of any show at Universal that is indoors. Can you?
Is the Stunt Spectacular indoors?
There is
the Jason Bourne
is indoors.
They have like the Halloween one at Universal Orlando, but it's, I don't know.
Well, you know, horror makeup show, like you know, was indoors. Then, you know, the Jason Bourne Stunt Spectacular is indoors.
I don't think I've ever seen that one.
Terminator. That was a good one. I remember seeing that as a kid. Scared the crap out of me.
So they're pretty limited. They're pretty limited in their indoor shows. So this is going to be a good addition too.
Mm-hmm.
It seems. I'm excited.
Yeah, that's going to be good.
I'm excited.
So that is all the Epic Universe news that dropped today about the Isle of Berk. But there are also other news that dropped this week. Going back to Disney. With Disney Plus. Hulu on Disney Plus officially launched this week with a new updated Disney Plus logo. And what are y'all thoughts on the new color scheme and jingle?
Interesting.
I don't like it. I read somewhere that it was like supposed to be like a mix from like the Hulu green and like that Disney Plus royal blue. And it's like that new Aurora color. And yes, they're using the name Aurora as a tribute to the Princess Aurora. I don't know. It's same with the jingle. I think the jingle bothers me more because I like the whole beep. You know what I'm talking about? Like that little drop. And like they still kind of have it, but it's masked by like that instrumental thing going on. I don't like it.
I haven't paid it that much attention with the jingle. I'll be honest with you.
I heard it was someone, I forgot his first name, Ludwig. It's his symphony, and I just it's gonna get used to for me.
I'll be honest, when I saw the logo at first, I was like, is the color of my TV off? What's going on here?
Right. Yeah. Felt like that. You don't mind it, Kelton? that new sort of blue.
I'm gonna be real honest with you. I haven't really paid attention to it. I didn't even know it had changed until this. I went back and saw, it did change. So that goes to show how much I pay attention.
I'll be honest. I do pay attention to a lot of like if I were to go on my Twitter account, it's all Disney news all the time. And it was funny because this like Disney Plus news was getting buried under all the Epic Universe news. So you would see a lot of like people trying to push. And by people, you know who I mean, trying to push that, you know, Disney Plus information. They just, you know, nope, Isle of Bark here, Isle of Bark there. But I did make a point to read up on it and listen. Ugh.
Sorry, Disney's going to have to open up a fifth gate if they want to beat out, you know, Epic Universe here. Changing the logo and the jingle of Disney Plus is not going to do it.
And, you know, I call me old school, but I liked having a place where it was just Disney content and like National Geographic. Hulu, which is a lot more adult content, I don't really want to see like all of these, you know, series like, and I feel like now my Disney Plus is cluttered. I don't like it. I understand why they might be doing it, just having it all be under one platform, because I know Hulu hasn't made them that much money. But I don't know. I feel like the essence of Disney Plus has just diminished greatly because of it. But anyways.
I need to put the movies that people care about on there. Like the Mighty Ducks.
Yes.
Yes. Anyways, that's just my opinion.
So moving on from the controversial Disney Plus, we have updates on Tiana's Bayou Adventure in Magic Kingdom, which includes brand new critter characters and audio animatronics. It does feel like they said coming in summer, it does feel like we're getting closer and closer to that summer opening. Do y'all have any guesses when y'all think it may be?
I think it's going to be mid to late July with soft opening starting end of June. Because they're running logs. They're running logs right now.
They are. You see, you're a little bit later than me. I honestly thought they were going to start with like cast member previews at the end of May, followed by the DVC's annual pass holders June, and then like an official opening end of June, early July.
See, I think they're going to push it to towards the end of summer, honestly.
So you're thinking end of July, early August?
Yeah, I think August, maybe even like September 1st or something like that.
Hold on. When is pumpkin spice latte season?
At Disney? They're already up decorations in August.
Normal, for normal people.
September.
Interesting.
So
September.
That's when I think I think they'll do like a month or so of like soft previews. Openings, yeah, cast members, and then annual. But I think it will be August. That's my thought. I think it'll be August, just in case there's any hiccups or anything.
I'll say this for anyone listening, and you don't have an annual pass, make sure you take advantage of the current Disney tickets promotion that they've got going on that run all the way until almost the end of September. So contact Fairytale Journeys Travel to get with an agent and get those tickets. Whether you're a Florida resident or not, they have some phenomenal 3 and 4 day ticket deals. And the good thing is, I'm not sure about the non-Florida residents, but I know for the Florida residents, you do not have to use these tickets in consecutive order, like in, you know, consecutive days. So, you know, if you get these tickets, let's say you want to go in May and then you're like, oh, still waiting on Magic Kingdom to open up Tiana's Bayou. And let's say it's in August. You have your ticket. Boom, you can go. Or not. But I do think that this is the time to take advantage. Get those reservations in. Get those tickets for the summertime. Take advantage of these amazing deals. And who knows, maybe you get the opportunity to test out, you know, Tiana's Bayou Adventure and be one of the first to go.
I mean, I can't wait for the Funkos to come out with the log ride. I had an opportunity to get, like, when they first came out with the Splash Mountain Flume Funkos.
Ooh.
Like, I saw them in the line afterwards. Mm-hmm. And I almost got it, and I was like, I'll get it later. And then they never came back, and they shot up to like $300-$400 on eBay. It's like, I could have got it for $50.
I know. I am excited though to see some of the, you know, these new critters. There's, you know, Disney put out that they're probably going to have some merchandise around them, and I'm excited. I think they're going to have a lot of great stuff. And again, like Kelton mentioned earlier, they're doing testing. You know, the mm-hmm. Imagineers are getting on these logs. They're going through the ride. So we're getting there. I'm excited.
So keeping with Disney, they released a first look at some Bohemian-inspired merchandise that will be exclusively sold on Disney's newest island destination. Lookout Key? All right, Lookout Key at Lighthouse Point. I feel like I always butcher the island names.
Oh, I hear you. So, don't get me wrong, I hear you.
I'm not an island boy.
Merchandise, Brooks, by the way?
Maybe a glimpse. I have not taken a deep look at them.
So before I actually read the description that this was exclusive merchandise for DCL for this mm-hmm. island, their new island, I thought it was like Mulan because it's got the reds and the yellows. That was my first impression. I know it's Bohemian inspired and, you know, very on par with their culture. But at the beginning, I was like, oh, my gosh, totally went the wrong way with this one, you know. But I'll say this. The Mickey ears are so stinking cute. I would love to get the Mickey ears that they are releasing. It's like beige or brown and has little Mickeys on them. Actually really, really cute. Anyways, but yeah, the Loungefly and some of the other merchandise, all red. All like red and yellow, and it looks like Mulan. But anyways, still cute.
So cute.
Mm-hmm.
So, speaking of cute, we have a new noteworthy discount for guests wanting to travel to Aulani, a Disney resort and spa in Hawaii. Guests wanting to travel this fall can save up to 30% on select rooms for stays of 5 nights or longer, or 25% on stays of 4 nights. And if you're a Disney Visa cardholder, you can save up to 35% plus a $150 resort credit if you book now through April 9th, 2024. If you are interested in taking advantage of this awesome deal, go to fairytalejourneystravel.com to request a free no obligation quote by one of our many wonderful agents our sponsor has, and let them know that the Mouse Ears podcast sent you. And then also stay tuned for a future episode on all things Aulani. We haven't really talked about Aulani too much since we did our Disney Destinations episode in season one. So I'm excited for that episode coming up. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to go out. I'd love to go out to Aulani. God, that'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, plus you can use DVC points out there, so that's even better.
There you go. Well,
and to be able to use or to get resort credit if you're a Disney Visa card holder.
Yeah.
Holy heck. I've never heard of something like that. So that's awesome.
That's so I see, like, you know, the deals they're running. It's like, you know, you don't even have to use the DVC points. These deals are just as good and may even be better. So it's always worth, you know, checking out.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. Summertime for Disney is awesome. Yeah, better than people realize with their deals.
You just have to take the heat, literally.
See if you can stand it with the big boys. Brooks, I have one more thing to add for news.
Ooh, yes.
Yeah, so this one dropped last week. But so I don't know if you guys had known. So Royal Caribbean has, coming in 2025, they have this beach resort type of thing that's opening up in Nassau area. It's going to be run by, you know, Royal Caribbean. But it's one thing I don't like about it is it's just another excursion. I was hoping for something like, you know, Labo de Haiti, where it's your own kind of beach area. But this is a good thing to have. Well, us in the central part of the U.S. sailing out of Galveston and New Orleans have been begging for something to come to this market. We have. I mean, they built like $1.5 billion into this terminal we have down here in Galveston. So something, you know, we've got Harmony of the Seas down here right now. They're hinting like in, I think it's 2026, that something bigger is going to be showing up. So it's either going to be Wonder of the Seas or maybe one of the Icon class ships. But Royal came out stating that they're going to be opening up a Royal Beach Club in Cozumel, Mexico in 2026. So like I said, it's not, you know, it is an excursion type of thing. So you do have to, you know, book it through Royal Caribbean. But Michael Bailey kind of came out and finally said, hey, we've got, you know, here's something, you know, we're going to do for you. You know, our more centralized Western Caribbean market. So, but they're supposed to have like sparkling beaches and pools and views and drinks and food. And I'm going, that's my type of excursion, baby. Let's go.
You had me at food.
I'm looking forward to it. I can, you know, I'm really hoping that I'll get to go. Maybe I'll tag along with Suzanne and Jenny when they go as well. I'll just book myself on that cruise. So that'll be great. That's all I got.
That throw does sound pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. But we do talk about all things, you know, all things travel, just mostly that's Disney. Right.
I think that is it. Like I said, it was pretty news heavy. And we're 33 minutes in and we haven't even gotten to our topic yet.
And now we're going to talk 10 minutes on City Walk.
So, well, I feel like the last 2 weeks we've had a lot of big news that have been dropping. I don't think it's a coincidence that all this news is dropping too before the summertime. So people can, you know, make their plans for the, you know, the summer break and see what they're going to do, whether it's a cruise or Universal or Disney or Hawaii, there's a lot of opportunity out there. So I think it's important for the people to know what's out there and what's, you know, what kind of information is being dropped on a daily basis. So anyways,
I can tell you what's out there. City Walk is out there.
Yes, Kelton, City Walk.
Very short drive. That moving sidewalk is out there.
Well, see, you know, and that's so I guess it's time we could just go ahead and jump right in. We'll go ahead and start. So I want to make the biggest difference between City Walk and which we've already mentioned, we'll talk about Disney Springs, is going through the toll booth. You got to pay to go to City Walk. So that's my biggest thing. And yes, then you get on that moving sidewalk, the old magical carpets. When you said that earlier, I was like, I was must have half been paying attention. You said magic carpets. I'm going, are we on? Am I on the right episode? Type of thing.
So
the moving walkway, you know, again, Disney's always on my mind, but I'm glad you kind of sort of understood where I was going with that. But you're right. You know, I actually hadn't thought about it. You actually can't get to City Walk without paying. And City Walk has a lot to offer, but
yeah, they do.
You have to pay $30 if you're not an annual pass holder. So, or staying on property.
So it is. So if you are not staying at one of either, you know, Universal or the Lowe's hotels, after 6 p.m., if you drive, you know, there's no charge. So
really
during the day it is, but yeah, after 6 p.m., you know, City Walk is free to enter because it's open till what, like 2 a.m. something
it
like that.
It depends on the season, and we do have that as one of the topics for City Walk for today.
I'm so excited about City Walk. I'm getting carried away.
Oh, you have every reason to be excited. Mm-hmm. So before we really, really, really dive in any deeper to City Walk, a little bit of history where City Walk is concerned. So the Universal City Walk in Orlando opened in February of 1999 as one component of the expansion that transformed Universal Studios Florida into Universal Orlando Resort. It was built over the former Universal Studios parking lot and entrance. Guests arriving at the resort park in one of two parking garages, then travel via covered moving walkways, not magic carpets, over Universal Boulevard into City Walk. From there, guests can proceed into either theme parks, Universal Studios Florida, and or Islands of Adventure. So City Walk is basically the gateway into either of the theme parks for Universal Orlando. I am curious, you know, I wonder if what's going to be the entrance like for, you know, Epic Universe, because it's going to be a separate location. It's not going to be in the same, you know, general vicinity as, you know, Universal Studios Florida, Islands of Adventure, or City Walk. It's going to be across the street. So that'll be interesting.
Maybe they'll have their own little, maybe it'll be like a town walk or a town jog or something.
Well, also, if you think about it, if you think about it too, what's the park hopping going to look like? You know, because at least with, you know, City Walk, if you're going to park hop from Universal to Islands of Adventure, you can either A, take the Hogwarts Express inside the parks, or just walk across. And it's nice because if you wanted to eat at one of the restaurants at City Walk, you know, in between, take a break from the parks, you can do that. There's so many options. So I am very curious about that.
I think people were just spoiled with, you know, IOA and Universal Orlando, because like you said, it's, you know, from gate to gate, it's a, what?
Very convenient.
7-10 minute walk. And now we have to look at our partners down the road there. And my favorite thing, hello buses, let's bring them in. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be about probably a 10-minute bus ride, because you have to also remember, where do the buses drop off for Islands and Universal? They do not drop off at the front gate like Disney does.
Nope.
So
they drop off before the moving walkway. You know?
I think it's before security. You have to go through.
Yeah.
Security at City Walk.
It's like that hub. Yep. You have like all the parking garages. And yes, there are some moving walkways depending on how far you are. But you've got like that hub with the security. And then you get to the main walkway to be able to enter City Walk.
It is definitely going to be something that people will have to look at when they start thinking about if they're going to, you know, I hate to say it, but if they're going to purchase that park to park. Because now it is just like Disney. You are you do have to actually put more thought into, hey, if I'm at Epic Universe and, you know, I want to go eat in Jurassic Park or, you know, Wizarding World type of thing, you're going to be looking at about an hour. I mean, you got to leave an hour, and that's from gate to gate.
If you wanted to take a midday break at a resort, I mean, yes, you're going to have the resorts at Epic Universe, but not everyone's going to stay there. So it'll be interesting.
You have the Endless Summer, Dockside and Surfside. They're probably about half, your halfway point. They're going to be some of the closest, minus the three that are going to be right there at Epic Universe. Right.
I think it's going to make those even more popular.
See, potentially. I think so too, because you're only going to be like a 5-minute bus ride.
Yeah. And so, and something to also think about is that Disney, they are located in their own special district. Universal is not their own special district. It's just their land and that's it.
Yeah, so you'll be fighting traffic along with it too.
Unless they're planning to make their own like tunnel system. I'm wondering if
they're
going to make
bus lanes.
Yeah, something. I wonder if they're going to do their own lanes to be able to expedite that drive, because I don't want... That sounds like a nightmare to me.
They could tear up Destination Parkway. Not Destination Parkway. What is that road right there? Universal Boulevard, I think it is. They could tear up the center just like Disney did.
Not International.
It's not International. I'll pull it up in just a second. Mm-hmm. I think it's Universal Boulevard, to be honest with you. But they could do exactly what Disney did with, Buena Vista Drive from Disney Springs and make dedicated bus lanes from Epic Universe to Endless Summer. And then, maybe beyond to the parking garage.
Well, here's the thing too. And I feel like that would make sense, right? If they did that, because truly, it will take a lot of time, I think, just from the aerial shots. Mind you, of course, these are our speculations, but a lot of things, it's not just like the resorts. It's not just, the park hopping. At the end of the day, just to kind of bring it back to City Walk, people want to make sure that they can have an easy transition over to City Walk anyways, because a lot of people, we don't know what the hours of operation for Epic Universe are going to be, but typically for Islands Adventure and Universal Studios, they're not that late. We're talking like 8 or 9 p.m. So if Epic Universe follows that same pattern, what people typically like to do is, go to City Walk and enjoy the amenities and the restaurants and the things that they have there. So I'm very curious. But bringing it back and focusing on City Walk, did you know that there are City Walks at Universal Hollywood in California, Universal Japan, and Universal Beijing? The iconic Universal Globe in City Walk is a very popular place for pictures, and it can be seen in all these different locations around the world. It is so awesome. I feel like I've seen that, everyone and their mother pose in front of that globe too, what I think is very interesting is that globe is closer to the Universal Studios entrance than it is like in the center of City Walk, which I feel like odd placement, right? Possibly. Am I alone in this thought? Maybe. No.
So I was actually, as you were doing this, typing, but I believe there's a reason behind that. We had already discussed prior in the history, but you have to remember what park opened first. Universal Orlando, or was it Islands of Adventure? Because City Walk replaced the parking lot for Universal at the time. So, and I can't apparently talk and type at the same time, or I would tell you the dates of when the two parks opened. But I'm guaranteeing you that Islands opened up after, which I believe they did. I don't have dates.
I think so too.
So that would be why your globe is so dedicated in front of Universal versus IOA. But that's my two cents, so you get what you pay for.
No, I like it. You're right. I didn't even think about it with the time frame of things. But even though it's just interesting that even though that globe is like what you would consider the icon, it's really not centralized at all. But anyways,
City Walk.
Oh,
so Graces. and it's actually interesting because we talked about how City Walk opened February of 1999. Islands of Adventure opened May of 1999. And then Universal Studios Florida opened June of 1990.
9 years prior. Wow. 8.5 years.
So, that's interesting too, because like as they were preparing to, can you imagine all that construction? Like we talk about all the walls up at
Epcot.
Can you imagine, like not only are they building this whole other park, but then it's just like, oh yeah, all your parking and everything, that's gone too.
You're so totally right about that. Oh my gosh. I don't know if that's a...
So when Universal does it, they do it big.
Yeah. But hey, they knocked both out in the same year.
I mean, you gotta give them props for that. That's impressive.
Yeah. So what can you find at City Walk other than this iconic globe? Other than security and moving walkways.
Ah, the moving walkways.
City Walk also has numerous restaurants and bars, entertainment spots, and shopping. Goodness, there are so many restaurants in this location.
Good restaurants.
Yeah. They are. You know, you have some like
anything to tickle your fancy.
Right. They've got fast food, like a freaking food court at a mall, and they've got sit down, and they've got the sports bar, and they've got, oh my gosh.
They have the Burger King Whopper bar.
I know. Yeah. Panda Express, you'll find me there.
Hey, of all the places, Ben Panda, the Bao, really?
Yeah,
Ben the Bao is Panda. Incredible.
I actually haven't tried it, and I really want to.
So last time Kelsey and I went, I remember we were waiting, and they were actually pretty busy, and like they shout your name whenever your food is ready, and I was just pumped being there. So it's like they shout the name on, they're just like, Rachel. I'm just turning around, Rachel, and they're just like yeah. I was like, that could have gone one or two ways. They could either be like, yeah, or just like, sir, you're going to get kicked out. But they were just like, yeah.
We need you to calm down, sir.
I'm glad it went in your favor, Brooks.
Yeah.
You know,
I may have been told a time or two, it's like, sir, simmer down now. You're up here. You need to bring it down here.
Take about 20% off there, sir. You know,
be like it.
But I think there's one thing that I'm a little shocked that hasn't really been brought up yet when it comes to food that I could have sworn would have been one of the first things.
If you say Margaritaville.
Well, I wasn't going to. I was actually thinking of, you know, of another place when it comes to food that hasn't been mentioned. And I have to say that. Say what?
Are you talking about the hangar? The bar outside of Margaritaville.
One Lost Palm, I think, is actually what it's called. I'm looking at it. I can't find it. No, I'm actually talking about Voodoo Donuts.
Yes.
Brooks, you're slacking.
So if on YouTube, if you can peer at my screen right now, I have Voodoo Donut pulled up.
Oh, I can't see it.
So
there you go.
I have Voodoo Donut pulled up. So.
No, and I mean, so they have quick service, like you said. Really, I mean, quick service. But, I mean, some of the other more, like, things that you would have seen at Pleasure Island back in the 90s for Downtown Disney at the time. But, hello, have y'all done, you know, like, the, is it Pat O'Brien's, the Dueling Piano Bar? Or Rising Star, like I want to do
Rising Star so bad.
Oh, I love it.
I
the music is always popping. coming out of that place.
Live band backup singers. I mean, and you are, oh, like.
Well, yeah. Okay.
I couldn't convince my wife to go in there with me. And I'm just like, come on.
I can't convince Michael to save my life. I just ran a half
marathon. Can you do this with me, please?
You can. You don't have to sing. You could be like, I mean, I go in all the time. I just eat and drink and then watch everybody else sing. I still have a great time. And then I go over to Margaritaville after.
Of course you do. I'll find you there when we're at Halloween Horror Nights.
Absolutely.
I'll be in the haunted houses.
Yeah, I'll be with you, Bruggs. All right, real quick, just to kind of go over some of the restaurants, because there are a lot, and they're worth mentioning, even if it's just quick. In alphabetical order, at City Walk, you can find pretty much every type of cuisine imaginable when it comes to food. And like we mentioned, the food is typically pretty darn good. We're going to start with Antojitos, authentic Mexican food.
I'm so glad you said that, not me.
I feel like I really don't need to say anything more about that restaurant.
It's delicious.
Big Fire. It's actually the latest addition to City Walk's lineup of dine-in restaurants. And this one is more American fare. I haven't eaten there. You walk by very smoky smells, so very barbecue essence. Worth trying out, I guess. you've got this one's been there for forever. At least when I think of Universal City Walk, I think of Bubba Gump Shrimp Company, because as soon as you get off the moving walkway, that's the first thing you see to the left. That feel like that one's been there for forever.
So funny thing. Did you know that actually replaced Motown Cafe in 1999?
Mm-hmm. I did not. But
the more you know.
Yeah. It's gone. City Walk's gone through its transitions.
Just like everything else.
Right. Then you've got your Hard Rock Cafe Orlando, and that's located inside the Hard Rock Hotel over the lake.
That is not the Hard Rock Hotel. Just FYI.
It is not? Is that just where they do the concerts and the restaurant, or is it just the restaurant?
It is the restaurant and concert, because I've actually seen I actually saw Gabriel Iglesias there at Hard Rock.
Ooh, oh, yes. I like him.
Fluffy himself.
Oh, wait, great. Did you do the what is it called, Velvet Lounge or something?
No, this is
no.
Not.
Oh.
We didn't have the money for that. I was early college. I was broke. Couldn't even afford to pay attention.
Oh, Lord. You see, I've actually never toured the Hard Rock Hotel.
If you go over towards Universal Orlando in the Globe, the Icon, hang a right, and then you'll go to Hard Rock, and then Portofino.
Uh-huh. There you go. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm going to
verify with my map.
While you do that, I will continue with the list. Then, as we mentioned, there's also Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville. You've got NBC Sports Grill and Brew.
And that's a newer one. This one's
really cool because you've got like all the big flashing TVs all night long. Super scandalous, but a very popular spot at the end of the night to watch sports, for burgers, fries. I feel like I always see – it's always packed, especially after Halloween Horror Nights. I feel like they're open pretty late because I always see people there, even like – well. Maybe not at 2 in the morning, but at 1 in the morning, there's still people in there. So that one, I think that one also used to be a
NASCAR cafe.
I do remember.
I remember eating there.
That I do remember.
Brooke's coming in with the history.
Did you have to keep making a left turn to get to your table?
Yes, actually you do. They make you go all the way around.
Yeah.
You also got Pat O'Brien's
Dueling Piano.
There you go. Cajun favorites there with the Dueling Pianos. You've got Cowfish Burger Bar. This one is like very, like when you walk down City Walk, you see it to the left. It's a second story. It is very, very popular. Gosh, the Cowfish Sushi Burger Bar. Do I need to say anything more?
Nope.
The next. Name says it all.
I mean, no, it is. It's one of those things you can get very wide menu. Very wide mm-hmm. menu.
And very good. You know, again, you know, it's not extra to say that the food quality is a lot better than you would think for a quote unquote tourist location. I feel like the Catfish is one of those that are surprisingly fantastic. This one's one of my favorites. The Toothsome Chocolate Emporium and Savory Feast Kitchen. Yes, they have phenomenal, awesome, cool desserts, but the menu is also incredible. Like your sit-down menu to eat. Whew, I had a soup there. I think it was a French onion soup a while ago. Phenomenal. Just so freaking good. Very, very cool place if you haven't been. It is all, what's that steampunk themed? And I love me some steampunk. And then lastly, as
so
far
that was
as...
also formerly NBA City.
Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. The last sit-down restaurant at City Walk is Vivo Italian Kitchen, and this is located right under the Cowfish restaurant. Also very popular. I mean, who doesn't like a good Italian kitchen, right?
Formerly Pasta More Italian restaurant.
He's still Brooks, going.
Brooks, you're killing it today.
Thank you, Wikipedia.
Kelton, before I move on to quick service, did you want to add anything to about the Hard Rock?
No.
No? Okay. All right. All right. So quick and easy bites at Universal City Walk. We've got the legendary, the wonderful, the mouth-watering Voodoo Donuts. A round of applause, please.
Yay. if you haven't, get the O Captain, My Captain. It's the Captain Crunch Donut. Life-changing. Continue.
You know, it never ceases to amaze me how hungry I get after we record most of our episodes, even though I have dinner before we do this. Every time, guys.
Well, I've been trying to cut out sweets, so this is not helping right now.
This is horrible. This is horrible.
Yeah. It's a good thing I live 6 hours away.
There's also the Red Oven Pizza Bakery. This one is always busy at the end of the night. Like, who doesn't love a slice of pizza at the end of, like, a park day? Or just, you know, at the end of every day, let's be real.
I was going to say, you think about it, though. After indulging in one of the multiple places you can get adult beverages, like greasy pizza.
Mm-hmm. There's plenty of places to get adult beverages. Yep. Bread box handcrafted sandwiches. Bend the Bow, which you mentioned earlier, Brooks. Mm. Hot Dog Hall of Fame. Mmm. Let's see, but it still is not better than Casey's Corner.
No.
Unpopular opinion, but that is my
opinion. Yes, it's popular on this podcast.
There's Auntie Anne's Do You Love Me Some Pretzels? Burger King Whopper Bar. Cinnabon. Oh, gosh. How many people on this podcast, and there's three of us, has at one point or another taken a picture in front of the surfboard next to the entrance to Cinnabon? Yep. Oh, Brooks.
And I've only gone to Universal once in my life, and it's been in the past couple of years, and shows how much I loved it.
For those listening to the podcast, all three of us raised our hand.
Yes.
You'll see it on YouTube later.
Yeah. Honestly, you know, that's like, we talk about the sense that Disney pumps into Main Street, like the bakery and stuff. But boy, oh boy, when I walk down City Walk and I smell that Cinnabon,
nothing beats the original.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't even know if they pump this in there. I think it's just overpowering from the stores.
Yeah. Oh, but it's that overwhelming and mouthwatering. Like, throw out any reservations. Like, you want to beeline it there because it smells that good.
You smell it. It's like, oh, better take some insulin before I walk down here.
Counting my steps, burning those calories. We also got Cold Stone Creamery, Menchie's Frozen Yogurt, Moe's Southwest Grill.
Okay, pause.
Oh, Yep.
I have not had Moe's since I left Claremont. And there is people who say Chipotle is better than Moe's. You can sit down because Chipotle is not better than Moe's. I mean,
I'm so glad that
when you walk in the door and somebody will say, "Welcome to Moe's." It's family.
It's also all about that. It's also basically the same food and Moe's is cheaper.
You get more. You don't have to do the hacks of get a bowl and this and that. Like, no, you want to, you don't want a burrito. We're going to give you a 17-inch, you know, burrito, load it all up, wrap it up so tight with a bow. And then you take and eat it. And it just, it's so good.
And then
good.
You take it home. It's like, why did you bring this home? And it wrecks your home. And that's the home wrecker.
All for $6.99.
I agree with you, Kelton. I've always been Team Moe's. And people always looked at me like I had three heads. Whatever. I'm glad I'm not alone in this podcast. Panda Express, one of my favorite fast foods.
Give me a plate.
Guilty as charged. Mm-hmm. No, you don't like it?
Oh no, I do. I'm all for it. Like, I don't want a bowl. I need, like, give me two. I want the orange chicken and the teriyaki with at least 4 packs of sauce.
Oh yeah.
Okay, bro. Quick, what's your side? Do you get the chow mein or do you get the fried rice?
Oh, I'm fried rice
always
all
the
day.
Chow mein.
Chow mein. Oh
no.
Give me that noodle. And I smother that noodle in the duck sauce. Yes, I'm crazy. All right. Moving on. Starbucks rounds it up for the list of quick services at City Walk. So you got a little bit of everything. And that is not an exaggeration by any means.
Well, but there's got to be more than just food, though.
Oh, yes, there is, Kelton. Yes, there is. You can also find a movie theater. Yes, you can go to City Walk after paying $30 in parking.
Or free after 6 p.m.
Or free after 6 p.m. or staying at one of, you know, Universal's resorts and go see a movie. And they have, what is it? AMC, I think it is. Oh, gosh.
Cinemark.
Thank you. Cinemark. It used to be AMC, right?
AMC is at Disney Springs.
That is why. You see? I'm just
Disney in the brain.
Yeah, always. How cool is that? I think it's really nice to be able to have, I mean, yes, Disney Springs has it, but I always see it's like blaring in your face as soon as you walk in. Again, you got Bubba Gump on the left, and then you get the movie theater to the right. It's just, I've actually never sat there and watched a movie, but I've always wanted to. I just, you know, seems like a really chill thing to do. But anyways, what else is there? They have the Hollywood Drive-In Golf. Have you guys done this?
I have not, but it looks so cool.
It is. I actually did it 2 or 3 years ago for the first time. You can do 18 holes or 36. They have a sci-fi, 50 sci-fi section, or they have a horror movies theme. It's really not scary, but it's very fun. And you can have your adult beverages while playing for those adults. Or for your kids, just a fun time either way. So it can get really silly, or it just can be a fun afternoon activity to tucker those little ones out. And yes, you can find that as well. As soon as you get off the moving walkway, bank a right, and it is right there next to the movie theater.
So I want to make a side note real quick, because I did just read it. And we'll have to verify, but I did read that if you attend a matinee showing at Universal Cinemark, they will reimburse you for your parking. We'll have to verify.
I remember reading that too. Yes.
So you don't have to pay, you know, buy the cheaper ticket, get reimbursed for the $30 parking. Good to go. Go see that Spider-Man movie or the latest Harry Potter.
There you go.
Whichever one comes out.
We also got the Bob Marley A Tribute to Freedom. Have you been there, Kelton?
I have not, but, you know, Jamaican food is always, like, authentic. Jamaican food is always really good. And don't tempt me with a good time with a live band and or a DJ. I am there.
After 10 p.m., it turns into adults only hotspot, though.
Well, Kelton, if you like DJs, then you would love Run Disney events.
Oh, I know. Yeah. So we're going side note here right quick. Casey and I got married in 2016 off East Coast of Florida. And actually, our DJ, and, you know, he was expensive for a reason, but our DJ actually used to DJ the Star Wars weekends and does a lot of the DJing around Walt Disney World. So shout out to DJ Elliot, who does Disney. So he does do some of the Run Disney events.
I'll see.
Which is why I say that.
I'll see if he's there next month.
DJ Elliot, why don't you come on the podcast?
Yeah. He probably should be. He's usually like mile 5 or 7 or something like that. So
that's awesome.
I'll say, do you remember Kelton?
So he does a lot of Comic-Con stuff. He does when Star Wars convention goes around, he hosts a lot of the main stage stuff. So he's a top hits nerd centric, you know, so yes, the Run Disney stuff I would love to do for the picture opportunities and the music.
Should we do a 5K?
I would do a 5K. If we can, like, get in and, you know, book it.
So
back to Universal. Yeah,
back to Universal. Sorry.
Because we're getting off topic. This is one that I haven't done yet, and I really want to do it, and I probably will do it the next time I go to Universal. That's Universal's Great Movie Escape. Now, this is not your ordinary escape room. This is inspired by two of cinema's most iconic franchises, Back to the Future and Jurassic World Escape. Kelton, do you like escape rooms? Because I feel like this Back to the Future is just calling your name.
I do, actually. Can I? I have a great time doing them. Can I figure them out? Absolutely not. I'm one of those people that, you know, I will start looking under everything. Like, forget the clues. I'm looking under everything to find whatever clue is there. And then I give them to somebody, you know, who can put all the stuff together to figure out how to get us out. But, no, in Back to the Future, I love Back to the Future. Great trilogy.
I know.
gotta love Jurassic Park, Jurassic World as well.
That's the one that I would choose, hands down. I want to do that one. What about you, Brooks?
Oh,
which one are you leaning more towards?
I think just for nostalgia, Back to the Future.
Yeah, buddy.
I feel like that would lean more towards, like, escape room fun. The Jurassic World is just like, okay, is Blue going to come jump through and eat me now, or?
That'll put the pressure, huh?
Yeah.
Anyway, so City Walk, they actually also have like a little splash pad area, which is really fun for the kiddos on a hot Florida day. I want to say summer, but it's hot all the time. So that's a nice little break if you want to just jump around in some puddles in the middle of a city walk. Doesn't really sound exciting to me, but hey, find your fun wherever it may be. And, you know, like we briefly mentioned, there's also a bunch of city walk bars and nightlife if you're, you know, 18 or 21 and older, depending on where you go. There's Fat Tuesday.
Love Fat Tuesdays.
So good. Lone Palm Airport, which is next to Jimmy Buffett, Margaritaville. The Red Coconut Club. I don't know this one. Where is this one? The Tribute Store in Universal Studios has a spiritual sister when it comes to getting festive. Every few months, the Red Coconut Club gets a massive makeover as it gets ready to celebrate special events such as Halloween, the holidays, and even Mardi Gras. Ooh, that sounds awesome. I love a good seasonal drink. There's Rising Star. We mentioned the karaoke. That place always sounds like it is a good time. And Hard Rock Live Orlando, where you can see concerts. I would love to see
a 3,000-seat auditorium. So it's pretty big.
Wow. Wow. There's also a bunch of shopping locations you can find at City Walk. Anywhere from a tattoo store to the rock shop and, you know, the surf shop. What else you got? A Universal Studios store and a Legacy store. So there's a whole bunch of different stores. I didn't mention them all, but if you're looking...
That's kind of the nice thing. You don't even have to go, you know, go back into the park to find, you know, the Universal store at City Walk will have a majority of your souvenirs if you're missing, you know, one or two.
So all in all, City Walk does offer a lot for guests, whether you're staying on property or off. You've got restaurants, you've got entertainment, you've got special events throughout the year for seasons, the different holidays, concerts. Now, what do the hours of operation look like? Well, because you need to walk through City Walk in order to get to the parks if you're not staying on property, it does open at least 1 hour before the parks open. So if the park opens at 9, that means City Walk opens at 8 a.m. Now, Kelton, you mentioned earlier, you know, sometimes City Walk is open until 2 a.m. I recall that that's typically the case, especially like for Halloween Horror Nights, since Correct. Universal closes at 2 a.m. So again, City Walk kind of needs to be open until after the last guest kind of has, you know, leaves the parks. Currently, at the time of this recording, it's March. We're in the middle of spring. The current hours of operation is 8 a.m. until 12 a.m., which is pretty early, I feel like, for Universal standards, especially during spring break. But like I said, these aren't set times. They do change depending on when you go. So it's important for you to check what times, you know, everything opens when you do travel to Universal. Some of the other wonderful things that make Universal City Walk super convenient is you have boat transportation to and from City Walk, the theme parks, and some of the resorts. I really like that. Like that you can just, everything is kind of interconnected through this waterway. You know, City Walk is a central point for guests staying on or off property. And you can't go to Universal without going to City Walk. It is iconic in and of itself. So,
and so the boat transportation is really nice, and it's much better than the bus transport, just because of the fact that, so boat transportation will get you, from City Walk to, Portofino, Hard Rock, Royal Pacific, and Aventura. Yes. And honestly, in the boat, it's a nice, you know, it's a really nice feature. If you have not been, but you've gone to Disney, think kind of like, you know, Sasagula mixed with one of the friendship boats is probably the best way I can put it for you. But it is a nice, you know, mode of transportation there.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you can walk too. They got walking paths.
Yeah, it's not very far.
No.
Everything is all interconnected, and they do have that going for them. Where, like, at Disney, yes, you have certain...
miles.
Yeah. There are certain locations where you can walk to and from. You do have multiple modes of transportation, skyline, monorail, boat, buses, walking, trams. Universal is walking, buses, or the boat. Depending on what you're saying.
Give them time.
Oh, yeah, of course. Time. All right, well, we've definitely been talking about City Walk for a while, but before we end this episode, I'm just going to go around and see, do you guys have any tips or anything that you would share for guests going to City Walk, either for their first time or for repeating time, just to kind of like, hey, this is a tip for you before going to City Walk to enjoy it more than they normally would.
So I can go for it. So honestly, it's just like with everything, know what you want to do. You know, if you're there for a week and you know, have a rest day and you guys want to, you know, stay out later type of thing, then you got your bars and your entertainment venues. But just kind of have a bit of idea, you know, because if you're working with a FTJ agent or any, you know, travel agent, they're going to ask you those same questions, you know, so it's always good. And if you don't, you know, they've got great team members down at the planning center desk in the lobby of your hotel. If you're staying at a Universal or a Lowe's resort, or you can just refer to your Universal Orlando app that it's kind of needed, you know, to do these trips. So that'd be my tip. Or tips.
Brooks, but what about you? I know you've only been once, but maybe for first timers, what was something that stood out to you?
I would say, like, just it's a lot small. Like, if you've gone to Disney Springs, which we'll talk about in a future episode, Disney Springs is very spread out and everything. City Walk, with all the stuff that we talked about, it's a pretty small area, and which they use the space very well. A lot of these like quick services are actually on like a second level. One thing that I think we've talked about with Universal, they utilize space very, very well because they don't have the space of a Disney where you have all this land. But even though it's very compact, I'm the type of person, take your time with it. And especially at night when everything lights up, it's a whole new world.
It is.
And then, just take your time with it and just enjoy it. Because, it's almost kind of like another gate, because with all the stuff that you can do, we spend a good amount of time talking about all the stuff that you can do, and we really didn't get into all the stuff, all like the entertainments. And then they said there are concerts, there are shows that are put on at Hard Rock, and And also a tip, go to Voodoo Donuts. Just go there. Get the Voodoo Donut.
You heard it here, guys.
Get the Oh Captain, My Captain. Get the Grape Ape. And then just tell me how it is again. Cause I dream about it.
I think my tip would be, make sure that you still do your reservations. You'd be surprised whether people are at the parks or not. A lot of locals go to City Walk, or people that are at Disney, they'll go to City Walk. They'll go to the restaurants, they'll walk around. Make sure that you know, Kelton and Brooks both kind of mentioned it. Make sure you plan ahead a little bit. Reservations is one of those things with the dining. Even though there are a lot of places in a small area to eat, think about the small aspect of it. They'll get full very quickly, and they're very popular.
Mm-hmm. Especially that cowfish.
You will be at 7 p.m. scrambling to find a restaurant, and they will tell you it's a 2+ hour wait. And you will be hungry, and you would much rather sit down and enjoy a meal than at a quick service that you can just normally have, you know, halfway through the day.
And next thing you know, you're standing waiting an hour for the Burger King Whopper bar.
Literally. That's happened to me with the pizza. So
I like a Whopper.
Heed my advice. If you want to eat there and there's any restaurant that, you know, tickles your fancy, reserve it ahead. You like that one, Kelton?
It tickles your fancy.
All right. Well, I really do feel like that about does it for this week's episode of the Mouse Ears podcast.
Join us. The fact that we just spent, like, we're going on an hour 20 on City Walk.
Well, hey, we did over 30 minutes on the new news. There was a lot there.
That is 35.
Yeah, that is true.
35.
Still a long episode. You know, hopefully our audience does like it and was able to listen till the very end. Because if you do, you'll know that next week we will be discussing Walt Disney World's Disney Springs and all that they have to offer there. So hopefully there won't be that much new news, because that is going to be a long episode. So don't forget to join our Mouse Ears Podcast Facebook group and our TikTok page for all the episode details. If you're interested in having a Fairy Tale Journeys agent book your next trip, whether it's Disney, Universal, Aulani, so on and so forth, visit fairytalejourneystravel.com and let them know that the podcast sent you. Lastly, if you like listening to us, we'd love for you to leave us a review wherever you listen. Until next episode, thanks everyone. We hope you've tickled your fancy tonight. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.